Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
And as a Catholic, I resent your using the word hate in a sentence that addresses me. I don't hate anyone. I was raised in a way that is full, a heart full of love, and always prayed for the president. And I still pray for the president. I pray for the president all the time. So don't mess with me when it comes to words like that.
We are here today because the Republicans in the House are paralyzed with hatred of President Clinton, and until the Republicans free themselves of this hatred, our country will suffer.
Dope. Don't screw around with me.
She's tough. Yeah.
Couldn't help myself but to go back in time, courtesy of some videotape, and listen to Nancy Pelosi accuse Republicans of moving because of hatred on impeachment. And wow, Nancy does not like it when the chickens come home to roost, does she? interesting moment there. We had the Jerry Nadler bite yesterday from the Clinton impeachment, where he said, you're damaging the country if you don't have bipartisan support for impeachment, to yesterday where he called for the impeachment of this president based on indisputable facts that are, of course, on a party line vote. So here we find ourselves this morning wondering what happens next. So happy Friday morning. Looks like Monday is going to be a really interesting day. So everybody,
what's going to happen Monday?
Is that the 9th?
It's the 9th.
The day we've all been waiting for.
I know. So anyway, that's why I'm in such a chipper mood this morning. So
you got it. You'll tell them. You go ahead and do it. So excited.
I'm just saying that it's the 9th. And Nancy Pelosi has called for more impeachment hearings by Jerry Nadler on the 9th.
Oh, fun.
And you just wonder yourself, I wonder why she picked the 9th.
I know.
Ooh,
what?
Pick me. Trish,
okay.
I pick you.
Okay.
That's the IG report day.
Oh, yes.
It'll be a national conservative holiday.
Listen, I don't for a moment think that the Clinton-appointed inspector general is going to give us what we want on Monday. But I just think it's going to be a little glimpse, just a slight glimpse into what's coming down the track. It'll be a forward glimpse to the locomotive that's barreling down the track from the Department of Justice. And I can understand why Nancy still wants to control the news cycle on Monday. It all falls right into place. So just stand by.
Standing by.
You know, there are times in history when you have to be in the right place at the right time. I could not think of a better time to be a talk show host. Can I just tell you that? Every day
you
wake
up. So much to talk about.
There's just every day you wake up, there's something new. And then, of course, yesterday with Nancy Pelosi getting so offended that James Rosen would accuse her of hate. Well, James Rosen didn't accuse her of hate. He was asking her a question, and a fair one. I always loved Rosen when he was with Fox. I'm not even quite sure who he's reporting for these days, but he's the one that asked her, Ms. Speaker, your opponents here say that all of this impeachment stuff is just motivated by your hatred of Donald Trump. It was just odd. The reaction was odd. And then she shuts him down. Does that sound familiar? Remember Biden? I'll tell you something I learned about Joe Biden yesterday. I didn't learn it yesterday. I learned it a long time ago. I learned it on this day.
Don't screw around with me.
When he was vice president and he came off a stage, and a reporter who was he was a blogger. He wasn't a. This is back when there was still a debate over whether or not you were a legitimate journalist if you weren't on television or radio. Like if you worked for a a organization that didn't fall under the umbrella of a mainstream media organization, there was a question as to whether or not you had any legitimacy. That's who that reporter was. He was a conservative blogger, and he asked the vice president a question he didn't like. And he got up in his face and he goes, "Don't screw around with me, bud." Did anybody hear Joe Biden yesterday with this 84-year-old Marine veteran? Because Joe Biden didn't appreciate being called out on this Burisma thing, right? Mm-hmm. He didn't appreciate that. Let me play this for you. We'll come back and we'll talk about it after the break here. But Biden was Biden got a little nasty with this guy. He's a little bit. The bully comes out when Biden's backed into a corner. Go to cut one.
You're selling access to the president just like he is. So you
you're a damn liar, man. That's not true. And no one has ever said that. No one has ever said that.
I see it on the TV.
You see it on the TV. No, I know you do. By the way, that's why I'm not sitting here. I get up and
no, let him go.
Yeah, there's also a debate over whether or not he called the guy fat. Because, you know, Biden is a young, spry chicken at 78. This guy's 84. He's a Marine veteran. He was thicker than Biden. I mean, he's mm-hmm. kind of heavy-set guy. And he didn't care. We got some reaction from the Marine, by the way, afterwards, as to why he dared to stand up and challenge Joe Biden like that. Because at most of his events, those questions aren't allowed. So I thought it was interesting how he's but he's got a history of this. And I'll let you hear from the Marine coming up here in just a couple of minutes. So we got Mark Lauder coming up at 6:10. Love Mark Lauder. Used to work for the vice president, used to work for the president. Now he works for the president's reelection campaign. I want to get his reaction to this meltdown we're seeing in the House. Annie Frye, of course, at 7:10. And we're going to get to Senator Bill Eigel about 7:35. He's already pre-filed a bunch of bills for the upcoming legislative session. It's all coming up this morning on the Mark Cox Morning Show.
All of this, what he's been telling here today is all softball stuff. We don't want to answer the hard stuff. He's been in the Congress all his life, and all of these problems like high drug prices and all of that. Where in the hell has he been for the last 50 years? And he's going to change it all now?
What do you think of the animosity Joe Biden showed you here today? The animosity, he was very, I would say he was pretty mean.
You bet, mean. Yeah. That's good. I at least he's got, he's so old that he's senile anyhow.
So that is Merle Gorman. I love that. I even love his old school name, Merle. My next door neighbor when I was a little kid, the very first house my parents owned, the guy's name was Merle.
I think somebody should start naming babies Merle again.
Yeah,
M-E-R-L-E,
I like it.
Merle.
How funny would it be to have a baby Merle now?
I know. So Merle is a United States Marine Corps veteran, a retired farmer. And Merle's give a darn button broke a long time ago, right? So he's
no
fan of Donald Trump, just so you know. I don't get that impression at all. In fact, he claims that Trump tried to get favor with the Ukraine. He doesn't have a spine, but you did the same thing. And that's when Joe Biden called him, a liar. A damn liar, I think is what he called him, wasn't it? Yeah, we got the bite. That's what he called him.
We just played the bite.
And
less than 10 minutes
and
ago.
And the point is that, well, I'm getting senile. And the point is that he got angry with this guy for daring to confront him. And there's so much more to this story that they interviewed Merle Gorman for a while. The bite you heard there went on and on because he told him a whole bunch of things. He's like, listen, he didn't want to answer the question that I asked him. And he was clearly enraged by the fact that I dared to ask him about his son. Here's what Gorman said. Let me read a little bit more of his quote. He didn't have the guts to explain the situation, and that's what I wanted. He got pissed off and he stomped around. I wish he had explained in a decent tone of voice why he got his son in that position over there. And in my opinion, he had no business whatsoever sticking his nose over there. So Merle Gorman, again, is asking questions the mainstream media won't. Then Biden got mad because this 83-year-old former Marine suggested that he was too old to be president. And this is what Gorman said. He goes, I'm 83, and I know I don't have the mental faculties I did when I was 30 years old. And Biden snaps back, you want to check my shape, man? Let's do push-ups together here, man. Let's run. Let's do whatever you want. Let's take an IQ test, okay? But Gorman believes he was making a fair assessment of Biden's age, telling the Post, quote, I know for a fact my mental faculties have slipped since I hit my 70s. I've got a friend in New Hampton who's 105 years old and can still do push-ups. So it doesn't mean anything about how smart you are. I love this guy, Merle Gorman. Now, when he first went in there, the Biden people said that he was an Elizabeth Warren plant. That's what they tried to write him off as, just a disgruntled Elizabeth Warren fan who wandered into a Joe Biden press conference and was handed a microphone. But that doesn't sound at all like what happened here. And they also deny that the campaign is denying that Biden referred to him as fat. He said fact. He said he was saying fact, not fat. So I
nobody can seem to find a quality microphone for these things. Do you hear this crummy audio that we're dealing with? No wonder
the
there's so much confusion.
The technology we have and we can't get, it's, just, it's like a, how I get baffled how our phone lines here sometimes still aren't great. It's like, what is going on?
We're talking about a Hyperloop that will get us to Kansas City in 30 minutes, but we cannot figure out a microphone or a phone line. What? It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, more understandable on a cell phone. We have those situations occasionally where we'll have a guest call in and the cell coverage is just not good where they are, right?
But that's not understandable in this day and age. There should be towers everywhere. We're so connected to everything. You can FaceTime your loved ones overseas. There is no reason we can't make a phone call to West County.
We did that when we were in Ireland. We FaceTimed with our kid. Absolutely.
And it was fine, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was fine. Yeah, you have an interview with somebody and it's just like, why is it crackling?
And yet we're at this event. I'll tell you what it is, though. I honestly think there is some better video, but I just think that various people were recording it with their phones, and the original clips that went viral came from people with their iPhones or their cell phones who were recording this as it happened.
Well, their cell phone companies should be ashamed.
Shame. What kind of phone will you get for this holiday season? That's a good question. All right. We'll get to your phone calls coming up. What say you? What do you think about what Nancy Pelosi said yesterday? Call me. Let's talk about it. 314-241-9797.
In the course of today's events, it becomes necessary for us to address, among other grievances, the president's failure to faithfully execute the law. When crafting the Constitution, the founders feared the return of a monarchy in America. And having just fought a war of independence, they specifically feared the prospect of a king president corrupted by foreign influence.
I think the winner's Donald Trump.
All right, yeah. Honestly, do you know what happened last night on the Clinton News Network? Was anybody paying attention?
I try not to if I don't have to.
Yeah. That's what you're here for.
They were able to clear 1 hour of broadcast time.
Mm-hmm.
And they let that woman get on CNN for 1 hour last night and spew her vitriol toward the president.
Don't say hate.
It is hate. It is hate. She hates the president of the United States. She's hated him since he beat Hillary Clinton. She's hated him since she thought he conspired with Russia, but she couldn't prove it.
Could she have sounded any more disingenuous it was just awful.
I've got the bite. I'll get it here for you soon. But Mark Stein was on the Tucker Carlson show last night, and he referred to her as the Tammy Faye Baker of politics. If you remember Tammy Faye.
Oh, yeah.
From the PTL Club. With the crying and her mascara would run when the tears ran down her face.
Can we give me a little recap? I don't remember who that is.
Oh, from Jim Baker and Tammy Faye Baker ran an online ministry. Well, they ran a television ministry, not an online ministry. I'm sorry, I'm using the wrong term there. And I mean, they were rolling the
dough. You need to look up a picture of her and look at the makeup.
They were. That's,
I don't. I was young when I remembering them, but I can picture her face with the makeup running down her face.
I just watched the show Righteous Gemstones on HBO. It's got John Goodman and Adam Devine, and you know what I'm talking about. And I think it's probably based off them.
Oh,
it's about one of those mega churches and all the money they're rolling in and how corrupt it is.
Those two kept rolling for a long time. Yeah. So Jim Baker would get on there and tell you that if you believed in God, you needed to send him money. And they went, I mean, they built a huge empire.
Yes.
They lived in a mansion. They flew private jet. I mean, they had all the money that you could imagine. They drew a huge salary from the church. And then there was a lady named Jessica Hahn who came out saying that she'd had an affair with Jim Baker, and then it all started to tumble down.
Yes.
So this holier-than-thou dude was having all of these affairs, and same-sex affairs. Then there were allegations of, of others, opposite-sex affairs. Then there were allegations of same-sex affairs, and needless to say, the whole thing crumbled right before their eyes, and they went on and did this famous interview with Ted Koppel on ABC, in which Tammy Faye Baker is crying and begging for forgiveness, and she would do this on their TV show all the time too.
Yeah.
And when she would start crying, like her makeup would melt.
She had the big eyelashes before big eyelashes were cool.
Did she have big hair too? I'm picturing her with huge hair and
yes.
Yeah. So Jim Baker ended up going to prison, I believe, if I remember that story correctly. So it was a big blow up back in what must have been in the early 90s, I'm thinking. Late 80s, early 90s is when that whole thing melted down.
Did they kind of kick off the mega church craze? Because then you've got like Joel Osteen now and
they were there at the beginnings of it. Yeah.
Became an industry.
It did. And the people at the top, a lot of those making a lot of money. Of course, they believed that, you know, that's what God wanted them to do. So we can argue that all day.
Some of them probably believe that, yeah.
But often when Tammy was looking into the camera and begging for forgiveness, you kind of got the impression Tammy just wanted her 12 cars and her mansion back. And that's why Mark Stein said, when you watch Nancy Pelosi telling you she doesn't hate Donald Trump, she loves him. She has love in her heart. It's just kind of hard to believe, right?
I now understand the analogy. Thank you both.
Well, no problem. I'm always glad that I can help, right?
Yeah.
Little when we make an old reference like that. Anyway, so speaking of Tucker, let you hear what he had to say last night. Cut number 13, please.
Liberals in 1975 would have laughed Pelosi off the stage. Democracy means, in fact, deciding things in elections, not star chambers. That was obvious then. But somewhere along the way, the left lost interest in democracy and then gave up on it completely. By the time Obama arrived, they were bragging about how they'd graduated beyond winning over voters with conventional arguments and promises. Going forward, shifting demographics was going to win elections for them, now and forever. They gloated about that in public. They wrote triumphant books about it. And then, out of nowhere, Donald Trump proved them wrong.
And they can't stand it. Can't stand it. That's how that whole thing went down. He's absolutely right. I tell you, Kevin McCarthy ran for speaker against Paul Ryan, and now in hindsight being what it is, he probably would have been a better speaker than Paul Ryan. I was not a big fan because my image of McCarthy is sort of a Southern California rhino Republican in many ways. But of course, he lives in California. But I thought that he really nailed yesterday what the Democrats have gone through with this impeachment farce. Cut number 6, please.
If she laid out a criteria, the Speaker of the House, telling the American public of March of this year that impeachment was so divisive that it would divide the nation, that the only way we could move down that it had to be compelling, it had to be overwhelming, and it had to be bipartisan. Well, we've had that vote on the floor for an impeachment inquiry. And the only bipartisan vote that turned out there was not to move forward. So the standard that she gave to the nation, that she gave to her own conference, she will not hold her own self to.
Yeah. Here's what McCarthy pointed out, and I thought he laid it out pretty brilliantly. He's like, listen, here's what happened. The Democrats got together. They decided that they need to impeach the president. They held a popularity contest for who would get to hold the first hearings, and Adam Schiff won because nobody had confidence in Jerry Nadler. They thought that with Doug Collins on his committee, he couldn't handle it. So they got together. They held a popularity vote. They decided that Schiff would be the lead on impeachment, and they just needed to gather the facts. And that was in early 2017. Are you following me here? So in other words, the plan to impeach him started long before they had any reason to impeach him or any evidence to impeach him. And the talk of impeachment moved from Russia, Russia, Russia to Mueller obstruction. And that fell apart. And now it's landed on secondhand information from a biased, Trump-hating so-called whistleblower. And that's where we find ourselves today. So that's the evidence they ended up with having to move forward with on impeachment, because they're running out of time. It's a political act. That's all that it is. It will go nowhere in the United States Senate. It's going to be an embarrassment for the Democrats in the United States Senate. And that's what's about to happen next. All for pure political gain. You know, I was on the think tank yesterday for Glover. And
you did a nice job.
Well, thank you. And Brenda Talent was on there, right? From the Show Me Institute, Jim Talent's wife. Mm-hmm. And you know, I thought she just made a beautiful point about this whole thing. Is that if what they're trying to do is argue that a politician, and I've often said Donald Trump isn't really a politician, but what you're trying to argue in the presidency is that a person in the presidency can never have in the back of their mind anywhere how any decision they make might affect their political career. Well, we know that happens all the time. And the argument is that in the Ukraine, we've talked to them about corruption for a long time. There's no doubt that the prosecutors in the Ukraine are corrupt. And any president talking to them knows that fact. So if you're accusing the president of wrongdoing by making a political decision that might somehow aid him down the line, what's the difference between that and Nancy Pelosi deciding to try to impeach this president within 11 months of a national election, knowing that she has zero chance of success? That's a political decision that will help her party, she hopes, down the line, by retaking the presidency and trying to retake the Senate and trying to hold on to the House. She sees this as a wedge issue. And I thought Brenda Talent made a beautiful point about that. What's the difference? What difference at this point does it make, to quote one of our least favorite politicians on the planet? What difference at this point?
What difference at this point does it make?
That's my question. So it's a political action. That's what impeachment is. And by the way, have you heard from Jonathan Turley in the last few days? The attorney, the professor who spoke the other day.
He's in hiding, isn't he?
Oh boy.
He's had threats
for safety reasons. Yeah.
Unbelievable. Because he dared to stand up and say he didn't think what they'd they want him fired. We'll have more on that here in a minute. I'll get to Paul's phone call and yours at 314-241-9797.
And the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down so it was straight, and then watch the hair come back up again. They look at it. So I learned about roaches. I learned about kids jumping on my lap. And I've loved kids jumping on my lap.
That is never going to get old. Can I just tell you that?
Or less creepy.
or less creepy. That
the
is
more
never
you
gonna
hear
get
it, the more confusing it is.
Yeah. What did it have to do with
and
anything?
That it happened in the same conversation as corn pop. It's just all baffling.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Wonder how much weed that guy smokes.
Then the mix-up yesterday with yelling at this guy, calling him a damn liar, and that, you know, if you missed that, I really think we're starting to see Joe Biden campaign come apart at the seams when you start adding all of this up. Listen to the interaction again in case you missed it. Cut one, please.
You're selling access to the president just like he is. So
you're a damn liar, man. That's not true.
Yeah, no, so you're a liar, man. You're a liar. But Joe Biden's never explained that. That's what Merle Gorman was after. He's the 83-year-old Marine you heard there. He's like, I just wanted him to explain himself. If Donald Trump knew that his son, Eric, or Don Trump Jr., was on the board of a company in the Ukraine or Russia or China or anything like that, and Donald Trump is negotiating trade deals with those countries, could you imagine the outcry from the left in this country who already accuse him of enriching himself all the time by the government contracts and stuff, even though he doesn't even take a salary? So all Merle wanted to do was get Biden to explain himself. You're not dumb. You're not a dumb guy. You've been around for 50 years. And Biden gets mad and calls him a liar. I mean, that's just...
He also challenged him to a push-up contest.
Yeah, yes. It's like, what's this? I'm going to take you behind the gym and beat you up. Watch out, man. Watch what you say to me, man. Joe Biden's a little bit of a bully. He's got a little bit of that going on.
You don't screw around with me.
Yeah, he does not like to be challenged on anything. And Merle doesn't care. Merle's like a honey badger, because generally speaking, if you've ever seen that video, honey badgers don't care. They just don't care. All right. Let me get to Paul here on line one. He has a challenge for us. Paul, what's up?
Hey, Mark, how you doing?
I'm
hey, I wanted to comment about the Jim Baker thing, because I think you got a few facts wrong. And I just wanted to clarify some things. I take Christian Ministries very serious. And when Jim Baker, when basically what happened was their ministry started this. It was like a Christian Disneyland. It was Heritage something. I can't remember what the name was. Anyway, it basically turned out to be kind of a Ponzi scheme. And after the Jessica Hahn thing, he went to jail and he actually turned his life around. A few years ago, I saw him on television, and he's actually back in ministry. And now Tammy, after the divorce, she went on to continue being a charlatan. But I do believe that Jim Baker has become legitimate, and God is using him again. He's in a small ministry. It's like a homeless shelter or maybe a prison outreach. It was a few years ago that I saw him.
But somewhere
I do believe him to be, and I just take that stuff personal.
No. I don't
like a black eye on ministries. And when people fail, I said when people
black
fail,
eye.
Yeah, black eye. God will forgive you if you seek forgiveness.
Yeah. And no, Paul, I'm sorry. I'm all about that, and I'm happy that. I really am. I'm sorry if I offended you. I'm happy that that he's been able to turn his life around. If
black eye.
He had a few. Hey, you know, it's all between he and his God now. We'll be right back.
Get more at 971talk.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.